following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Brian Christopherson of Lincoln Journal Star is going to join us here in about 2 minutes, and then he's at the press conference in Lincoln. See what his thoughts are on Nebraska, on what's still to come, on the Big Ten, where the big names got beat. The majority of the Big Ten did win this Saturday, Jimmy, but nobody's really paying attention to Rutgers and Maryland and Nebraska beating McNeese State. They're paying attention to Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. So take your black eye and move on. Do what you got to do. Nobody will be paying attention to you. And, you know, one of your favorite things, as I told a buddy of mine on Saturday night, save your money to the bowl games and bet the Big Ten. Just like last year.
Hey, you know, Doug, here's something kind of interesting about this. Is, you know, this is the first year, of course, where they're going to have the playoffs where they're going to pick four teams. And, you know, they're talking about the winners and who's going to get in and who's going to get out. The Big Ten's in deep trouble right now about getting in. You know, if the Big Ten team has to be undefeated to get into the thing, it looks like to me, if somebody with one loss, they're going to take a lot of other schools with one loss right now. Now, I got to, it's week two, but still, this is the way it looks.
Michigan State still looks okay to me. They had a rough second half, but yeah, they're going to have to win the Big Ten, maybe run the table to do it. They've proven themselves. They outplayed Oregon in the first half, maybe just even a quarter. You know, because Oregon got out to the quick start. Michigan State had a great second quarter and then just made a couple of mistakes. You knew you were going to have to score with Oregon, and the offense then ended up putting pressure on the defense. So you're
definitely going to be able to forgive Michigan State as long as Oregon runs the table. You know, but if Oregon loses a couple games in that Pac-10, it's not going to make Michigan State look as good as if
Michigan
Oregon
looked
wins.
Pretty good, though, right? I mean,
Michigan State?
Oregon.
Oh, Oregon looks really good, yes.
Big Ten Players of the Week on special teams, Sam Foltz, Grand Island's punter, and Drew Ott, Defensive Player of the Week from Giltner. Drew will be joining us later this week on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jared Crick got his second career start for the Houston Texans yesterday. 4 tackles, 3 solo. His stats were as good as anybody on the team, basically. J.J. Watt had a great game. Houston wins, although their offense isn't very good. I was pleased, you know, just kind of looking at how our playoff picks went. I mean, New England, I have Miami and Cincinnati. I like them going and beating teams. Cincinnati on the road, beating our rival in Baltimore, and Miami doing something that no one's done in 11 years, and that's beat the Patriots on opening day.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, that anytime you win on the road, any of these teams that win a road game, that's a big win. I mean, way bigger than a home game. You know, so you're right. There were some teams that won on the road. The Buffalo Bills won, you know, and they beat Chicago. That was a big, way big win for the Buffalo Bills.
Jimmy, there's once a year I go to the Husker home games, and there's about once a year where I stay back, do some stuff around here, and I don't go. So I figure, well, you know, you're Idaho State. You don't go to that one. It's usually that lower tier non-conference game that you stay back, do something. Well, what did I know that I should have stayed back from Florida Atlantic and went on Saturday? And Brian Christopherson joins us from the press area at Memorial Stadium, getting ready for Bo Pelini's press conference that you'll hear here at the bottom of the hour. Brian, I'm guessing not only the stadium, but the press box was buzzing for a long time on Saturday.
Yeah, it wasn't what anybody expected, was it? I mean, here you got a 5-touchdown spread in a game like that, an FCS team. Although you got to give McNeese State their due. I think they're better than a lot of bottom of the pack FBS teams. They have some talent, especially their first string guys. But yeah, it just was not the showing you hope to see from Nebraska after such a great debut against Florida Atlantic, where you really thought this offensive line was ready to rock and roll. And, you know, that was probably the biggest thing with me. They struggled up front. I mean, they just got whipped up front at times during that game against defensive linemen who were undersized and really struggled to move the football. And, you know, when you only get 2 first downs in the second half like Nebraska did, you only have 23 offensive snaps. It was a rare situation where Nebraska was the team who looked a little gassed at the end of the game, and you would have never thought that going in.
Brian, in a game like this, when you're a heavy favorite, and even these FCS schools, when I'm sure nobody gives them as much credit as if they were, as if Iowa's playing Ball State. I mean, I think that's a great comparison. McNeese probably is every bit as good, if not better, than Ball State the way that they played this past weekend. But everything has to fall into order. The thing, I guess, that concerns me is it looked like McNeese State, their opening game plan for Nebraska, defensively to shut the run down in the middle. They did a great job with getting the ball out on the edges. Anytime the quarterback ran, anytime they threw dump passes, let's face it, they dropped a lot of balls, too, out in the flat. It looked like they had a perfect game plan, which I guess would be scary because you know everybody else is looking at it.
They did, and Nebraska let them have reason to believe. You know, I go back to the Tommy Armstrong interception where he just makes a bad read and a bad throw. If Nebraska goes in there, makes it a 21-7 game, that changes the whole dynamic. You know, on McNeese State sideline, you start to maybe think, maybe we don't belong here. Perhaps people are right. There is a big gap between them and us. But after that pick, you could tell just the whole, you know, situation that surrounded the game changed. McNeese State believed they could win at that point, and Nebraska, you know, didn't look like a confident team, really on either side of the ball. So that was what was most alarming. And then I think you saw how big a deal it is when Kenny Bell is out of the game. You know, when they lose Bell and Turner, That really flipped things, because all of a sudden McNeese State locked in on Jordan Westerkamp and said, you know what, this is the only guy we got to worry about. We're not going to let this guy beat us. And you can tell Tommy and the other receivers, Alonzo Moore and Tariq Allen, they still have some work to do to get on the same page and kind of get that chemistry going. So I thought that was kind of exposed at a position where you thought Nebraska had a lot of depth just a few weeks ago, where they had 7 receivers. You know, by the end of the game, they were really down to 3 guys, and 2 of those guys were probably number 6 and 7 in the pecking order as far as the receivers go. So that's going to be a big storyline this week to me is what's Kenny Bell's health? Is, you know, it's a groin injury. Sometimes those can be nagging injuries that stick with you all season. You know, you hope not for Nebraska's sake, because he's a guy that offense really needs, because even if he's not making plays, he's drawing a lot of attention, and it really opens things up for Armstrong and Westerkamp then. So that's going to be one of the big things that we're going to have to watch this week.
Brian Christopherson, the Lincoln Journal star, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio ahead of Bo Pelini's weekly press conference. You nailed so many things that we could have brought up. I was with you. The interception totally changes the game. That's a 28-7 game at half. The game's over. We don't have to worry about all this stuff in the second half. Tariq Allen looked like, you know, he forgot to practice because he just didn't look like part of the football team out there. Doug Duda, Jim and Langan with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jimmy, your thought?
Well, I think one thing, I think, you know, special teams are such an important part of the football game, how your special teams play. And because Nebraska's punter did such a fantastic job, and also because McNeese State dropped some passes, I think we're missing it a little bit here. I understand that that play was very critical, but those turnovers like that can happen. You know, what I'm saying is Nebraska, with 30 seconds to go in the game, our quarterback is back to pass, and for some reason doesn't have the urgency that maybe somebody's going to get beat, because that play took about 5 seconds. He needs to realize that some defensive lineman might beat that offensive lineman. He gets hit and the ball's loose. That's 50-50 who recovers that ball. That happened to go to a Nebraska player. So you talk about a play. McNeese State's talking about that one. Yeah. Nebraska's talking about the 98-yard interception return. But if you're at McNeese State, they're talking about that fumble. So I'm saying this game was a little closer played than we want to realize. I think we're acting like, hey, this 98-yard thing, well, what if the guy intercepts it, just intercepts it, and falls down at the 2-yard line? I mean, then they don't get 7 points, but we can't take the turnover away. The turnover was well-deserved. The 98-yard interception for the touchdown, that was a big break getting the 98 yards. But I have no trouble. That's an easy pass to pick off.
Brian,
you know, so.
Brian, what do you think? I'm a Bo backer. I like what he does. The attitude most of the time doesn't burn me. But I did cringe a little bit when he went back to the "I look in the mirror, the finger points at me" stuff in the press conference. It's week two. I mean, there was a vast, as you touched on, a vast change between week one and week two. This team's somewhere in between, right?
Yeah, you know what, though? The coach has to take it. You know, he has to do the old point the thumb line, because if he doesn't, well, I mean, what's everyone going to say around here? They're going to say, oh, you're saying it's on the players then. I mean, it's kind of one of those can't win type of deal. So after the game, I think a coach in a game like that where he knows his team didn't play up to par, it's kind of incumbent on him to say, this is on my shoulders. I'm the head man here. When, you know, whatever you got to say about how we performed, it's on us. And we, you know, he said we got out coached. And, you know, I think that's a true statement. You know, you brought it up earlier, the game plan McNeese State had coming in. I mean, this was a defense that ranked 83rd in the FCS last year. So they've got some great athletes, and especially on the offensive side of the ball, they're a very talented group. But there was a huge question mark coming into this game about, could McNeese State defense stop Nebraska at all? And so that was really the alarming part. And when you look at the offensive line play, take away Armstrong's one big run in the third quarter where he went down the sideline for about 34 yards. And Nebraska averaged 2 yards a rush, you know, in the second half. I mean, that's just not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it against anybody. And guys were quick to bring up, you know, that type of play, you play Michigan State, you play Wisconsin like that, you're going to get blown out of the building. So, you know, the point, you know, that was made about the interception, you know, I know some people are going to say that's what turned the game. Nebraska would have run away with it. You know, it happened, though. And that's a fair point. It's part of Nebraska's DNA. It's been part of their DNA that they've made mistakes like that. And so you got to own it. You got to own the fact that you found yourself in a close game against a tough, you know, an FCS team. And you gotta want to do something about it, because you can turn the narrative in a hurry around here. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, think of how up in the clouds everyone was a week ago about this team, and now they're all down in the dumps. You go out to Fresno, you play a good ball game, and do what you're supposed to do. You know, this McNeese State game's just a blip on the radar. So that's the way this team has to view it. They avoided what could have been a catastrophe. They got the win, and now you got to use it as a learning experience.
last minute here with Brian Christopherson because he's got to get in and ask Bo some questions so we can listen to the answers here from his press conference. Let's look at Fresno State. This is a team that is apparently quite a ways away from where they were in 2011 in Lincoln with a lead in the second half against the Huskers, where Nebraska got a big kick return and ended up winning at 42-29. But, boy, they don't look like they can stop anybody yet. They have a little bit of offense. Tell me what your early scouting report here is on the Dogs.
Well, I think it's an interesting game because as bad as Fresno State has looked, you figure they're going to be a little bit different team in their home yard. And I think they're going to be a desperate team. And Nebraska should be, too. I mean, that's what we should see Saturday night is two teams who play with some desperation and who are mad about the way they've played so far. You know, the biggest issue Fresno State has, from what I've read and the little I've seen of them, their secondary is really struggling. I mean, they're struggling to cover anybody. But, you know, that creates an interesting dynamic because everybody around here wants Nebraska to run the ball, right? I mean, that's the big thing. So the weakness of Fresno State would lend you to believe, well, maybe Nebraska can toss it around on these guys, but I don't think a lot of fans necessarily want to see Nebraska throw it all over the place. So there's kind of an interesting dynamic there. And the one thing I'll say about Fresno State, I think they are starting to figure out their quarterback. They've been rotating those guys, and they have the transfer from Duke, Brandon Connett, and he wasn't starting the first 2 weeks, but he's outplayed the other kids so far. And it sounds like he could be the guy going forward. They've played pretty well under him. So far this season, he's come in when the team's been way behind. So if they start the game with him, you know, he could create a little bit of a test for Nebraska because he's a guy who can move around a little bit. And in that way, I think Daniel Sams from McNeese was a good, you know, eye-opener for this defense. They were able to see a guy who can really move around as a quarterback. And so that could help them a little bit. But it is a game Nebraska should take care of. But after what we saw last week, you know, you just kind of wonder exactly what's going to happen out there.
Brian, I thought you did an excellent job of explaining the football game about us not being able to run the ball. And that's one reason why our offensive coordinator throws the ball a little bit when we get down to the goal line, because
right.
they really are packing it then. It was just a bad read. It was too bad it happened. You know, it was a play that it wasn't there. It should have been just thrown out of bounds, and now you got second down. But the play did happen, and that's why we are not being able to run the ball. I think one thing we got to talk about, though, let's talk about the play that ended the touchdown at the end of the game. Your thoughts on that effort by our Heisman Trophy candidate?
Yeah, well, Amir, it was just a stroke of brilliance, wasn't it? I mean, it was whatever you want to say about the game, and there's plenty to be said about that. The individual effort on that play was as good as I've seen watching this football team. And it looked like a guy, frankly, and I wrote this, who was just tired of four quarters of nonsense. You know, it seemed like a myriad, like, it's like, all right, I've seen enough crap for the day. You know, I'm going to take this game over, and I'm going to get this ball to the end zone, and we're going to get the heck out of here. It was an amazing run, and, you know, he's as good as any player in the country. You can't convince me otherwise. Whether his team will do well enough this year to give him a chance for those individual awards, that's part of the deal, right? I mean, let's face it, the Heisman Award is as much about is the guy on a team that's kind of competing for a championship as it is just a great individual player. So Amir's going to need some help from some guys around him, especially that offensive line, to win individual awards. But that play right there showed, he's as good as anybody out there in this game.
Brian, appreciate you making some time for us before the press conference, and we'll let you get in there. We appreciate chatting with you on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks back down in Lincoln. Have fun out at Fresno.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Brian Christopherson, Lincoln Journal Star. Excellent analysis, and along with all the folks that we have here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Always appreciate their time, and check it out, Husker Extra, online at thejournalstar.com. There's so many things out there. I don't want to not give McNeese credit because they made some mistakes. There's no doubt about it. But I still firmly believe, and I will, and it may come out to pass that other teams don't drop the ball as much as they did. But I firmly believe that if Nebraska, as Brian said, goes in, and that's not a pick six,
the game's over than that fumble at the end. But you're right. The whole second half, that's where you don't want to be against a big underdog. Most of the time, Nebraska, and there's only been a couple times these FCS schools like a Maine, that Middle Tennessee State that we were talking about last week, that there was a game at halftime. It was like Wisconsin. That's 9-2 or 9-3, whatever it was, against a team that they should have been blowing out, and then they did blow them out in the second half, and it ends up 37-3. You kind of thought that that's what Nebraska would do. And it didn't happen. Then you get tense. Then you start thinking about this kind of crap, as Brian said. And all of a sudden, you're a mistake away from the whole world falling in on you. And as the deal is, you learn. I think they're going to learn just as much winning as they did losing this game. So it's good that they won this game and didn't lose this game.
Oh, Doug, I think Brian and you both, Brian from the Lincoln Journal-Star, and Doug, you yourself, you saw this game about exactly the way I saw it, and you've also brought out some things that made me think a little different about it, too, and that's why I like being on the air and talking about this stuff. But I think the point that Brian made that's very important that people understand is that this team was committed to stop the run. And they actually were committed to really watch our Heisman Trophy candidate. They were really watching him very closely, and that's why they held him to 50 yards rushing.
And, Jim, you know, they talked about this last week, wanting to get Amani Cross more carries and all this other, now you have to say garbage, because at the time you're thinking, well, we will be in a game where we can get these guys some carries. All of a sudden, you don't expect in the third and especially in the fourth quarter that your number ones are in there, and you're looking at your play going, this isn't what we expected. I'm going to call the plays, but I was expecting some other guys in here at this time, and these were the plays that we were going to call. As you said, go ahead.
Well, the only other thing I'm going to say, and I have to be real careful on how I say this, but our defense has got to get some turnovers. I mean, you've got to be able, when your offense isn't moving the ball and they're struggling, they have to punt. And what a tremendous job of punting. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, a couple punts weren't great, but they even turned out great. Well, but, you know, just did a tremendous job of putting them inside, making that team go 90 yards.
Let me give you this.
Okay, go ahead.
He averaged over 51 yards on 6 punts. 3 of them were over 50 yards. He also had 3 of them downed inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, you know,
Big Ten special teams player.
Oh, and I'm going to tell you, I can't believe how important that was, because let's say he gets a punt blocked, or he has once goes off the side of his foot. I mean, in this game, that's a loss. I mean, we're going to lose the game. You know, there was a time when McNeese State had the ball. They scored a touchdown. They had got called back for a penalty. I mean, they went into the end zone and they had a penalty.
Because there should have been. That was a makeup call from a play before.
Yeah,
too.
But the point I'm trying to make is that this game wasn't, oh, what a lucky break, you know, they had, and they got all the breaks in the world. Hey, they played with us for at least 35 minutes. Back and forth.
One other play, a lot of people are on Cotton on that great catch Westerkamp made falling down on the sideline. Cotton's called for a legal man downfield. He was. But just go watch the play again.
Screen pass.
You know why he was? The McNeese State guy shoved him as the ball is just being thrown in the air, and I have to double check if he kind of tripped over a guy, if it was a straight shove. He wasn't downfield until the McNeese State guy shoved him from the side, didn't see him, and that's why he was downfield. We have to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bo Pelini's press conference is coming up, so stay with us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl. Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you. We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
The ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops across the area today as we top off at about 86 for a high. South winds will stay at 10 to 15. Tonight we'll see a chance for a scattered shower storm, mainly late, with a low at 66. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 70.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you. In the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. Your Midway Auto Dealerships are there for you 6 days a week. And if they just don't happen to be open overnight or on a Sunday, anytime you can go to thinkmidway.com. Like them on Facebook for many more deals after you buy or take care of your new or pre-owned vehicle. Don't forget, Chevy Truck Month is here. Supplier pricing on Silverado 1500s, $500 in bonus cash plus a $1,500 trade assist. You've got double cabs, crew cabs, 1500 LTs, plus the 25 and 3500s are in. And right now on those new Silverado big regular cab 25 and 35s, $4,500 customer cash plus $1,500 bonus cash, 0% for 72 months, all from the manufacturer. Check it out during Chevy Truck Month at your Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac dealer, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Your thoughts? We'd love to hear from you. We've got a few minutes before the press conference. The Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN, and then the numbers 1460 1550. And as always, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Just been informed that Tervell DeLagna finishes third at the Worlds. That happened overnight, got beat once, was able to come back, beat a variety of great wrestlers, world champions, guys that he's wrestled in the past. So another bronze medal for Tervell DeLagna, the former UNK wrestler wrestling at heavyweight over in Uzbekistan. So congratulations to Tervell. Hastings College football, big win. They thumped Kansas Wesleyan 61-20. Coach Tony Harper will join us tomorrow, as will Daryl Morris. We're also expected to be joined by Jared Crick on tomorrow's show. Jared with the new look with Coach O'Brien and a different look at defense. He got the start yesterday, played quite a bit in the football game, four tackles, three of them solo. And as I said, Houston won. I'm going to be so interested in the games next weekend. The games that Houston and Washington plays, and also the Dallas-San Francisco. That San Francisco-Chicago game, extremely intriguing next Sunday night since the Bears were upset. And I'll tell you this right now, folks, you can make fun of our Dallas Cowboys, my Dallas Cowboys, as much as you want. They didn't look good yesterday, except for Murray, the running back, DeMarco Murray. What'd San Francisco really do after that first half? I mean, if Dallas was that bad, they should have thumped them in the second half. I'm just saying. I'm not sold on the Niners. I don't have them in the playoffs. They were given two touchdowns. I'm not complaining that they beat the Cowboys because they definitely deserve to beat the Cowboys. I'm just not saying, ooh, San Francisco, they're awesome, because they aren't. They aren't. That's my opinion.
You know, I think going back to Crick, that what a great game he had, though, you know, for
for Houston. I mean, Doug, you know, he's going to be on your show tomorrow, and I think that, you know, what a great game he had. For you'll have a lot to talk about. He'll be in a pretty good mood, you know.
Well, ask him why he's not got a salary like Watt.
Yeah, there you go.
And then Clowney could be torn meniscus, could be out, so there's a lot of stuff, but continue.
Well, you know, I think that's real important. I think also in the pro football, too, I mean, after week one, you don't want to overreact either way. You know what I mean with your teams. I think you got to wait at least 4 weeks in, not 2 weeks, not week one. You know, but about 4 weeks in, then you kind of see where you're at, and then you got to try to improve from that. But one other thing too, if anybody wants to call in too about the Kansas City Royals, they scored 5 runs against the New York Yankees. 5 runs in 3 games. 5 runs in 3 games, and they win 2 out of 3.
Shut them out twice. That's why they won it the first time. The Royals have shut out the Yankees twice in a series. I believe it was since 1971. It's the first time the Royals have won a season series from the Yankees since 1999. They remain 2 games up because Detroit also won last night. And because the Lions are playing on Monday Night Football, they're putting the Tigers, even though it's not a big deal, they want to do as best they can to get people to both and watch both games. So the baseball game is at 3:05 this afternoon, so a little matinee baseball on the Breeze, 94.5. And then at 6 o'clock, the Lions and Giants here on ESPN, followed by the Chargers and Cardinals. We'll take another break and come back with Bo Pelini after this.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the 3 new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You'll get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Let's go to Lincoln and hear from head coach Bo Pelini in his weekly press conference.
I didn't really talk about it on Saturday, but I don't know if I've ever been a part of a locker room after a win where there was as quiet as, it obviously got our attention as to what's necessary, what this football team, you know, the type of approach you have to have. And as I said the other day, you know, I'm responsible for how we played. I wasn't happy with it, embarrassed by it, to be plain. And I think our football team felt the same way. And it was interesting. You can talk and get guys' attention. I have said this all along. You know, we have an interesting mix on this team. We got a good group of leaders, but a small group. It's 13 seniors and a real interesting mix of youth and experience. And Sean brought in a guest speaker today, John Gordon. He was talking about kind of the USA that he was at West Point and how Coach Krzyzewski brought that football, that basketball team to West Point to kind of get them to understand what it is to play for a country. And obviously that isn't our situation, but he brought up the point of, at one point they got to talk to some people who had lost family members, people, you know, who died for their country. And he said at that point that there's one thing to be, to talk about it, but to feel at that point, they're able to feel what it's like. And it really got me to thinking about our football team, because, you know, we can talk about the what's necessary, the type of mindset, the type of preparation, the type of discipline, the type of focus you have to play great, which we didn't have on Saturday. And like I said, that starts right here. But there's one thing to talk about it, and there's another thing to feel it. And believe me, after Saturday, you know, they felt it. And going forward, like I told our football team, is I don't feel any different about what this football team is capable of yesterday than I did, or today, as I did a week ago. Because I saw not a lot of the same things. We executed at an extremely higher level in the first game. But some of the same things that we did in the first game, we just took turns of breakdown after breakdown. Basic things. It wasn't what we were doing, it's how we did it and what our approach was and how we did it. And obviously we didn't pay the price during the week. We didn't have the right mindset when we walked out there on Saturday, and we're, in my opinion, we're lucky to walk out of there with a win. And you can either, you know, at this point you use that and learn from it and hopefully become a better football team because of it. And that's what I expect to happen. We broke it down and went through every single snap in detail, and then talked about it. And I think we have a football team who they got their attention. You know, you can't ride the waves of being – way up, way down, how you feel, you know, how you feel when you win. Your approach has to stay the same. Whether you win by 50 or whether you win, you know, with 20 seconds to go. At the end of the day, your approach has to be the same. And my message is, you got to go off of what you see on film. You can't ride the, you know, of buy into things that don't matter. There's a certain level of detail that you have to play with in this game. That's why it's a humbling sport, because it's probably the greatest team sport, because you need 11 guys doing the same thing. And when you're breaking down here and there, across the board, one guy taking his turn here and there, you're going to have your problems. And our level of detail, there were plenty of things out there for us. But our level of detail wasn't there. On both sides of the football. Now on special teams, we saw a lot of good things. We made a big jump. We played well on special teams, and we made a huge emphasis last week of, because what was, you know, that was the area where we struggled in the first game. But that's a great example of those guys responded to the challenge. I expect the same to happen offensively and defensively this week. And like I told him, I said, it can't be a one-day thing, a one-week thing. It has to be an everyday, constant approach. Because otherwise you'll get humbled, or we'll be having that talk on another Sunday. So that's kind of where we are and where I am. I was excited to get back to work yesterday. And I'm looking forward to getting back on the football field with this team and taking them on the road for the first time. I'm not worried about where we're playing or what time we're playing or anything else. I'm worried about seeing this football team execute at a level that they're capable of doing. And And I'm going to say it again. I've said it after the game. I will say it again. It starts at the top. It's my job to get this football team prepared. And so I'll open up for any questions.
You mentioned poor tackling on Saturday. Did you guys get a count on how many missed tackles you guys had?
You know what? It wasn't as much, Eric, missed tackles as it was leaky yards. I mean, ones where we would make contact at maybe for no gain, or it was sloppy tackling, where a lot of times we got them down, but when it should have been second and 10 or second and 11, it was second and 7, second and 6. And it just constantly happened. And most of the time, it was because of our technique and our fundamentals. It was because we were not playing. My message was, there's only one way to play. There's a reason why we're asking you to do it the way we're asking you to do it. And when you're supposed to close, you're supposed to play the tackle, you play the tackle. It doesn't mean you're two or three steps outside, because then your head's not going to be in front, and your fundamentals are going to suffer because of it. And like I told our guys, and it was real obvious when you watch the film, it's not what we were doing, it's how we were doing it. And some things, it wasn't just like we went out there and missed a bunch of tackles. We were in bad positions because our eyes were in the wrong place. We were not playing fundamentally the way we need to play. We weren't playing with the level of detail it takes to play great. And, it wasn't like we were dripping off and missing, where we just flailed and missed tackles. That wasn't the case. It was leaky yardage. And instead of having teams in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, it's 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, when it should not have been that way.
Offense, you guys struggled on first down, save a couple of arms for our long. What do you identify as the struggle there, particularly passing the ball on first down? You guys are completing 28% of your passes.
Protection was pretty good. For the most part, the protection was good. But our level of detail in the passing game was terrible. And it wasn't that guys running the routes at the wrong depths, giving the, at times misreads by the quarterback. Believe it or not, not a lot of those. A lot of them were, running, no detail in what we were supposed to do and how we were supposed to run the routes. And, there were some big plays to be had. And sometimes it wasn't the intended receiver, it was the other receiver who was bringing a safety over when he shouldn't have, which made the quarterback have to throw it way outside the hash when the ball should have been being thrown on the hash. There were so many instances of lack of detail. And then there were a couple which Tommy, made his mind up before the play happened where he was going to throw the football and didn't go through his progression and didn't have wasn't playing the way, didn't take the receiver that he should have taken. Where the first week, our detail in the passing game was very good. And then a couple of times where we had some big plays to be had, Tommy reverted back. And I know Coach Beck talked a lot to him. But he's been getting very good in his three-step footwork. And he reverted back to some bad habits. And those bad habits made him got his feet off kilter in some of our quick game. And conversely, when that happens, when you're stepping the way he was and not getting your feet driving through the throw, you're going to throw the ball low. And it happened a number of times when we could have had some enormous plays. I mean, where there were big plays to be had. And the other reason why we struggled on first down was in the run game. One guy after another on our front of just, mistargeting and not playing with the fundamentals and technique. I mean, it's, letting guys run through, lack of communication in what they saw. If the front side saw it one way, you make a call, you better transfer it to the backside so everyone's on the same page. We didn't have five guys on the same page, and it hurt us. And like I said, in the run game, you know, there were big plays to be had. But when one guy after another is missing their target, we're not getting a body on somebody, you're going to have problems. And like I said, it wasn't anything different than we saw the week before, or that we were just getting, we weren't getting, but we got some good movement. But when there's one guy running free because somebody misses assignment, I don't care who you're playing, you're going to struggle.
Coach, can you give us an update on status of Kenny Bell going forward?
Yeah, Kenny is, he's day to day. He was a little bit sore yesterday, but he's had a groin before, and I expect him to, he'll respond quickly.
What about Randy?
Randy is, he ran yesterday. He looked great, and he looked great today. I expect him to practice probably tomorrow. We'll see how he comes off of how he went through his treatment today, but I would say Wednesday at the very latest. But he'll be ready to go this weekend.
Birch, you've got Birch Riley,
the Western
Camp had a
back on the shoulder. Yeah, Westy's all right. He's okay. He's just sore. Birch and Riley, I would say they're day-to-day. I think Riley, we're hoping to get him back by Wednesday or Thursday. Did I just say Riley? And Birch, he's just day-to-day. Same, kind of the same lingering problem he's had.
Tariq and Alonzo, forward with some of those guys all dinged up.
More detail in their game. I thought Westy, he made some great catches, but some of the things that he can learn a lot from that tape. Alonzo's just got to go turn it loose. He's tremendously talented, and he at times I see him going out there more worried about making a mistake, and he needs to just let his talent take over. He's a tremendous competitor, plays hard, but there are times he's playing tentative. He's just got to go let it loose.
Hey, Bo, on Abdullah, he had a carry with about 13 minutes left in the game, and then he didn't touch the ball again until 20 seconds with the big play. I mean, is that acceptable to you?
No, that's my fault too. I mean, and as much as anything else, but they were crowding the box and daring us to throw it. And like I said, when they're doing that, we had multiple opportunities for big plays in the passing game. It didn't take advantage of it. And we had a couple of drops. We had some guys who, like I said, I think I just kind of detailed it out. There are other ways that to get Amir the ball, and other ways that we should get him the ball.
Correcting those mistakes made in the passing game, how difficult is that to do in a week's time?
It's not hard because we did it a week ago. But it comes back to this. When you make the type of mistakes that we made in the football game, somewhere along the line, our guys lost the focus and the discipline of doing things the way they should, the way they have to for us to be a really good football team. And, as a head coach, I look myself in the mirror and say, for whatever reason, I don't care why it happened, and that starts with me. And I got to get them in a better mindset. We as a staff got to get them in a better mindset. We have to be that much more detailed and demanding in everything that we do, and saying this is exactly there. This isn't up for debate. It is. There's only one way. We're going to coach it a certain way, and the expectation is it's going to be done that exactly how we're asking you to do it. And when you whatever reason, if you think you got to walk out there, you're going to walk out there, and you can get away with taking shortcuts or hey, I'm going to do this. For whatever reason, I'm going to do my own thing. You're going to have a problem. Football does not work that way. And there's a lot of instances when you've been coaching as long as I have. You see, you guard against it. You talk about it, but sometimes you need something to get their attention. I was thinking driving in today, the year we won the Super Bowl when I was with the 49ers. And I don't remember, it was like week two or week three. We got beat 40-7 at home by the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, it was as bad a performance as I've ever been around. And fortunately that year it got their attention. There's, you know, it happens. You want to guard against it, but when it happens, you want a football team that's going to respond. And I feel confident we have a group that will respond.
Following up on Amir, when you say that it's your fault that you didn't get more touches, I mean, what do you mean by that? How's that your fault?
Because it starts with me. It's all our faults, but at the end of the day, he's our best football player. We got to make sure we get the ball in his hands.
So you said we should put on the headset demanding he gain more touches? Or?
Exactly what I said.
Hey, Coach, when you mentioned that Tommy Armstrong was, you know, having some breakdowns. And
I'm sorry, Eric. What do you want to, I mean?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Matt, I'm just curious as to why you're taking full blame on that.
Yeah, I mean, he's our best football player. We got to. We're going to go down. We better make sure we get the ball in his hands and make a concerted effort to do so.
Coach, you mentioned Armstrong was maybe deciding ahead of time what he was going to do with the ball and reverted to some bad habits. Did you guys ever discuss maybe the possibility of throwing Riker or Johnny in there for a series and change it up?
I didn't think that was the right time. Like I said, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, Sam, but trust me when I tell you that the problems in that passing game went well beyond the quarterback position. And our lack of detail at some of the other positions put our quarterback in some bad positions. When if we would have just done it the way it's been coached to do, and our details there were gonna be open lanes and big throws. Guys were open. But when you're not creating space for those guys that are open, it's pretty hard for any quarterback to make those throws.
You have a number of defensive players who pretty much played every snap. Greg played almost every snap. Malik did. I mean, do you feel like you're not in position to play any backups in some of those positions?
Yeah, I thought we should have rotated a little bit more. Especially early on, our guys weren't gassed. We rotated three guys. It'll help us when we get Kevin Williams back because we're still young with the fourth defensive tackle position. At the end position, our guys, you know, they were pretty fresh and they felt good. I mean, after looking at the film, I wish we would have subbed a little bit more because we didn't play well enough at the end position. I thought we should have subbed a little bit more. I think Jonathan Rose should have got some more snaps.
Who would you rotate in at the defensive end after those top two guys on Saturday? Right?
I feel good about Keels and Natter. I feel good about those guys. Obviously getting Randy back will help too, but I'm not afraid to play those guys. It just, like I said, hindsight's 20/20. Did I think that anyone was gassed? No, we weren't. We weren't tired. Towards the end, we really didn't have many long drives, and.
Bo, do you have a sense yet whether this will be a really good road team? Do you like the offense?
Yeah, I do. I like this. Because, like I said, you know, it didn't show it Saturday, but what I've liked about this team has been the business-like approach that they've had. And somewhere along the line, you know, I was concerned last week. I'm always concerned kind of going into the second game. The second game is always the one to me that since I've been coaching college football and sometimes even pro football, that is the trap game, because you kind of go through, you have that hype, the excitement and everything of the first game, and then you get into a second game and that's kind of out the window a little bit. We talked about it all week last week of, you know, believe me, you know, all we had to do was look at the film from the first game. Hey, we haven't arrived, but, not buying into the hype or the excitement or how you played in the first game, that's irrelevant. You have to go out and do what you do and play the way you play and execute at a high level. That was what my whole talk was about on Friday night, and disappointingly, we didn't play with that level. We didn't play with that level of maturity. Now, I don't think I'm going to have to do much. Seeing how our guys responded yesterday, I don't think I need to say any more about it, because I believe me, their attention it was there.
Are you going to take 10 extra guys on the trip?
Yes, we'll take the full lot of what we can take. Yeah, I think it's – I like it. I wish that would happen. I wish that could happen in league play. I think it's a good thing. Not just for special teams, for just so many different areas. And I remember when I first started coaching college, when we were able to have 70, it was like a kid in a candy store, because I was so used to the 53-man rosters. But, you get spoiled, and believe me, I think it gives you a chance to bring a lot of guys, and especially helps you on teams.
What do you know about playing at Fresno? I know that the temperature could be about 100 degrees there on Saturday. It looks like. What do you know about that stadium going out there?
I don't know much about the stadium, but, I coached out there. I understand what it's going to be like. It's at night. I don't think it'll be too bad, but, our guys, we've practiced and, just last week alone, it was probably 100 the first couple of days we practiced, and our guys are in really good shape. I'm not real concerned with that. I'm concerned with our level of execution. We'll be ready to play. I'm not worried about going to California or anything else. We have some things in place. We've thought a lot about it. I like our schedule. We're going out there a little bit later. We're going to do our normal Friday routine at home. Then we'll get on the plane and go out there, and then we'll get them to bed at the right time, get them up, and make sure we get them moving on Saturday. So I'm not concerned about all that.
How big a loss is Jamal, and is the plan to apply for a medical redshirt?
Yes. I think it, I've been wrong before, but I would think it's going to be a slam dunk. And I feel bad for the kid. It's like, one of those deals with same thing, kind of in just running down the field and there goes his Achilles, I don't see that a lot in football. It's, I've seen it more in basketball, but kind of a weird deal. And I know it's one that it's an injury he'll come back from 100%. Hopefully we'll get him back again for another year.
Have a bigger role in the receiving game with a couple guys going down.
Yes, I think, and he probably would have the other day. He got a quad bruise on one of his punt returns and was a little bit sore, was a little gimpy there towards the end of the game, but I have a lot of confidence in him. Obviously we get Kenny back. We expect to have Kenny back, and, we're going to bring a couple of, we're going to start practicing Irons and Tolbert a little bit more with us, and get them ready. Both those guys are really talented kids, and I think could bring something to help us too. And we get Riley and Birch back, obviously that'll help.
Probably travel those freshmen at least.
We'll see how the week goes, but I would anticipate there's a good chance that'll happen.
What have you seen from Fresno State? Obviously, two really tough road games to start the year out. You get a sense to be pretty hungry to play you guys at home.
Yeah, I would think. Somebody was telling me, I think they've won like 13 in a row at home or something, and I don't know if this coach has ever lost a home game. I know it's going to be, it's always a, a pretty crazy environment out there, and they'll be pretty hyped up, and, we've had pretty good success on the road. I think our guys will respond very well, and I'm not worried about what's happened to Fresno or what their record is or how they've played. Well, our challenge is to play and execute at a high level. And our focus is on us. And along the way, we'll get ready for Fresno.
You saw Tim DeRuiter defense in 2010 at A&M. What do you remember about what he does well?
It was a little bit different then. They're unusual. They do a lot of different things. They move a ton. A lot of blitzes, a lot of, it's pretty unusual defense. It's one that, you're going to see it this week, and we're not going to see that. We'll see some semblance of some of the things they do. Excuse me, but not the way they do it. It's very unusual, and it's going to require our guys to a lot of good film study. A lot of attention to detail.
How different are they without Carr now, quarterback?
Well, I think Carr started this past yesterday, so it's not easy to replace a guy like that. But the guys they have in there, very capable. But they lost some good football players, and they got their whole offense, basically their whole offensive line back, but it's hard to replace. I think his name's Derek, right? Derek Carr.
Coach, you drop out of the top 25 this week, and you said it starts from the top. That's your mindset. What are you and your coaching staff doing specifically to making sure a game like last week doesn't happen again?
I think I've just kind of addressed that. We're, it's our job to coach at a higher level of detail. I'm not worried about dropping out of top 25. We take care of our business. We'll move up. We won the football game. I'm glad we won the football game. Don't like the way we did it. So understand why we would drop a little bit. But like I said, if we respond the right way and we take care of our business going along, then, we'll be just fine.
There it is, Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini at his weekly press conference here on Mondays on the Doug and Daddy Show, covering a variety of topics. A fairly long opening statement from the coach today of over 5 minutes. Usually it's 30 seconds, and then he opens it up for questions. Went over a variety of topics, talked injuries, Kenny Bell, Randy Gregory, Jamal Turner, talking about Westerkamp and Birch and Riley and their thoughts there, and poor tackling, maybe some misreads, why Amir didn't get the ball more in the fourth quarter. I mean, I really think they didn't have anything scripted. I mean, it's different. Yeah, okay, here's what we're doing, and we're going to keep running our offense, but I'm guessing they didn't have 70 plays scripted for the number one offense on Saturday. And then talking about Fresno State, of course, they've won the conference the last 2 years out in the Mountain West, but this looks to be a rebuilding year. Their defense has not played well. They've had a run of great quarterbacks out there. They've played two of them throughout the year in Brandon Connett and Brian Burrell. So he's out there. Burrell a little bit more of a passer. Connett runs the ball a little bit more, and their O-line, he says, pretty solid. Other things that you took out of that, Jimmy Langan?
Well, the one thing I was very interested in was not one newspaper guy, or I guess the media, and didn't go, hey, coach, I thought it was a great idea on the kickoff return to put our Heisman Trophy candidate back there to return the kickoff with less than a minute to go in a game where you needed to score. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a great move. And somebody, the special teams coach, or somebody that, had put that in there and got him. And I was really surprised that if I'm kicking the ball off, I'm going to kick it to him, because he about broke that thing. I mean, that was a great return anyway.
That's a good start.
I thought it was really it seems to me that sometimes we miss the point. That was a great a coaching thing, because he already said, hey, the buck stops here. It was my mistake. I needed to get more touches in him. And then somebody could have said, hey, coach, that was a good call, though, with getting him back on the kickoff team, nice call there. But, for some reason that got, I just really was amazed that wasn't brought up a little bit, that, hey, let's let this guy run them all back, But I know you don't want to get him hurt either. But I think the running plays were not working. There was a lot of times where he was only getting 2 yards and 2 yards and 2 yards, and you can't just keep giving him the ball on those things. But you got to get him the ball on screen passes. You got to be able to get him the ball on a jet sweep. There's some other things you can do to get him the football.
And he was asked about that in the press conference after the game on Saturday, and they asked him whether he'll continue to do punt returns sparingly. At times we'll use him, at times we won't. I wish I could put the ball in his hands every down, but we can't. So that's that was kind of the consensus there. And without Kenny Bell available, then you definitely, if you're going to go to one of your big studs. Amir's your big, big stud. So there you go.
And the other thing, Doug, was just the fact that, you know, we're playing without, you know, I think we have a guy that in the NFL that it's predicted to be a top five draft pick. And we didn't play him. I mean, he's, you know, our defensive end is out.
Yeah, Randy Gregory.
You know, in the end, I think that, you know, so Nebraska can get better. You know, Nebraska can get better. And I think, actually, when I look at their schedule, I mean, I actually think they can win five in a row before they go to Michigan State. So I think it's very possible that this team, you know, Miami doesn't look great, Fresno doesn't look great, and they've got Illinois at home. So I think it really does look like we could be 5-0 going into the Michigan State game.
Well, I hope so, and I know Nebraska fans do as well. And folks, for more discussion, enjoying everything that's going on with the world of sports, stop into the Chicken Coop, watch sports, talk sports, play some Keno, enjoy your favorite beverage, have a little lunch. A lot of places say they're sports bar and grills, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop, and thanks to them, Monday doesn't have to be a blue Monday anymore. The Chicken Coop has a great lunch special with steak sandwiches, your choice of side for only $7.49. Lunch specials daily from 11 to 4. You can also take advantage of their appetizer specials from 2 to 5.30 every afternoon, 2 1/4 appetizer specials, plus long necks and draws for only $2.25. Stop in, watch Monday Night Football tonight, and stop by and enjoy lunch any day of the week. Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds, downtown Kearney. We'll be back with a couple of other sports notes and wrap things up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
This weekend, the Royals take on the Boston Red Sox. Thursday night at 7:10, grab Gordo Nation seats and a free T-shirt. Friday night, toast the Royals with beers of the K before the 7:10 game. Tickets start at just $18 and include a free tasting mug. Come enjoy a selection of specialty beers with raffles and prizes. Saturday night, come out for opening pitch at 6:10. Then it's Family Fun Day Sunday with School of Rock and more family fun before the 1:10 start. Tickets at Royals.com and Hy-Vee.
Be Royal, Kansas City. Be Royal.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
Hi, this is Michelle Henke, Executive Director of the United Way of South Central Nebraska, and I invite you to get connected. In an effort to increase connections and relationships between local agencies and community members, the United Way of South Central Nebraska offers an online system called Get Connected. You simply log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org to start your journey. Get Connected is an amazing tool for finding resources, events, and volunteer opportunities. For details, call us at 402-461-8412.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
I had never even owned a furnace or an air conditioner before, so it was brand new to me, and they trained me, not just by sending me out with them, but also I have those resources to talk to people. I like to think that when I show up to a house, it's not just me with my 5 years of experience showing up there, but it's all the years of experience of all the Texas Anderson Brothers showing up at that house as resources that I can use. Without the training from Anderson Brothers, I would not be able to do the work that I do today.
Regardless of age or experience, start a new career with a call to Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
Quite a few
notes before we wrap up the Doug and Danny Show on this Monday. A reminder tomorrow, Daryl Morris, Tony Harper talking UNK Hastings College football. Houston Texans' Jared Crick will join us as well. Wednesday, our Loper Link, Bob Jensen High School football. We haven't even had a chance to dive into some of that yet. We'll do that here. First, our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you over the weekend, who's your pick to win the Super Bowl? And it was Seahawks, Broncos, all even, 33% each. Then 17% took the field, had a couple of votes out there for the Niners and the Saints. Today on ESPNSuperstation.com, your Midtown Mart cooler question, back to the Kansas City Royals. Will they make the playoffs? They're currently two games up on Detroit and a game and a half up in the middle of the wild card. Oakland would have a half game on them in those two wild cards. So what do you think at ESPNSuperstation.com? The Royals will win the division. They'll be the first wild card, the second wild card, or things will fall apart and they'll miss the playoffs altogether. Obviously, the six games they have remaining against Detroit will be increasingly important. But on our Midtown Mart cooler question, I'm going to say they make the playoffs, and I'm going to say they win the division. That's not a death type of stamp right there, but that's just my feeling right now, is that if they're going to make it, they got a good a chance to win the division as anything else. So vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Pigskin Pick'em, it came down to the tiebreaker this week. Yikes! How is that constantly happening? We're 0-2, Jimmy! Yeah, we're 0-2. Although, Jimmy, you did better than me. I went 3-7. You and our caller Jerry both went 6-4, but Jerry was just 2 points off the tiebreaker. He guessed 57. It was 55. So congratulations to Jerry and Carney, winner of the $10 gift certificate to Cunningham's, as well as, of course, every weekly winner getting the Big Dally Deli combo meal. The big game there, Jerry had Virginia Tech. And he had USC. Jimmy had picked BYU over Texas and Notre Dame over Michigan, and it just came down to the final points. Man, I had USC and still stunk. Texas, bad. Michigan, bad. Ohio State, bad. Washington State, bad, bad. Boston College, bleh. Purdue, yuck. Man, so I got Oregon right, Wyoming right, and USC right. And USC and Wyoming right down to the wire. We'll do it again on Friday. You know, a little bit of progress. That's all we're looking for here. Jimmy's just not even going to talk. He's just not even going to say anything about his picks. That's fine. He's concentrating on next week. A week ago, 1-5. This week, 2-3. So improvement. Toledo didn't come close against Missouri. Temple lost, and Akron should have covered, but didn't against Penn State, and that's all that matters. The winners were Arkansas State and Central Michigan. So maybe Jimmy start slow and finish hot. But again, it's improvement. One win to two win. See if we can take that next step this week.
Just a four-man rush. Armstrong to the sideline. Here he comes, Abdullah.
Wow.
And Abdullah still on his feet. Westerkamp throws a block. Amir Abdullah all the way home. Touchdown, Nebraska.
What do you think about that? There it is. It is going to be one of the coolest highlights at one of the most nervous moments in Nebraska football history. Folks, don't get nervous about your crop, whether it's beans, whether it's corn, whether it's wheat, whatever the case may be. When it comes to irrigation, get it done the T&L way. The T&L difference is proven technology that works. Let T&L and their dealers give you lasting value and decades of dependability with T&L systems that are easier on you for a lifetime. They've been out and about here lately at some of the big farm shows. Of course, Husker Harvest Day is coming on this week, so stop by and see them out there for more information on how all of the Precision Link, PPC3, and just hydrostatic technology can work for you. The T&L difference, worldwide headquarters in Hastings, taking care of us since the mid-1950s, not only in Nebraska, but every state and more than 65 countries worldwide at T&L Irrigation, with a mini sneeze in between there. Last couple of notes here. We've been talking a ton of football here on the Doug and Daddy Show today. It was a solid week in volleyball. Nebraska not playing. I mean, they started with two outstanding opponents, so the next opponents, and they did get tested, but for every test, then they blew somebody out 25-7, 25-8. So they won against Dayton, CSU, Bakersfield, and Eastern Kentucky, only dropped one set over the weekend. UNK went 4-0, didn't drop a set in their home tournament to begin the year, and Hastings College for the third straight week goes 3-1. They lost to one rated team, but then in the final match over the weekend, they defeated third-ranked Wayland Baptist, so they're 9-3, and they open the conference season at Doan on Wednesday. In soccer, UNK women open the season with a tie and a loss. Hastings women get a win and a loss, and the Hastings men are 4-0 and with four shutouts so far on the season. They play at 11th-ranked Mid-American Nazarene on Friday. And we told you Terrell Delagna finishes with the bronze medal at the Worlds, way above his ranking. Congratulations to the former Loper wrestler representing the United States of America. And an outstanding Saturday for the Grand Island Central Catholic Volleyball Program once again. Head coach Sharon Zavala wins her 900th match, 40 years now, back since 1975 when things got underway at Central Catholic. 900 wins, only 173 losses. Needed to win the Minden invite to get there. Beat Minden in the finals. She also had Minden as her 800th victory. Two outstanding programs. And the coaches over in the city of Grand Island, all those wins, Coach Rose, Coach Root, Coach Zavala, with more wins than anyone in the state of Nebraska in volleyball history. She's had so many awards, of course, the National Coach of the Year in 2006. She has she will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. She's at UNK's Hall of Fame, Northwest's Hall of Fame. She has been named the Coach of the Year by the Lincoln Journal Star and the Omaha World Herald in two different times. She's been the Coaches Association Volleyball Coach of the Year four different times. So congratulations to one of the, if not the best, of all time in Sharon Zavala. So congratulations there. Storm did pick up two wins, 5-2-3-2 over Des Moines yesterday. They play three times this week at Lincoln Friday. Then Lincoln comes to Kearney for the only exhibition game of the season at the Viero Event Center. And then they'll go back to Omaha to skate on Sunday. The regular season opener is in Lincoln on September the 26th. So more on high school football as the week progresses. We do have a new number one team in six-man. Silver Lakes run of undefeated games came to an end to Spalding Academy. Saw some other great performances over the weekend. Kearney moves into the top 10 in Class A. No real major other teams jumping into the rankings this week, but we're going to have some good ones for you on Friday night. We want to thank all of you for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thank Brian Christofferson of the Lincoln Journal Star for joining us on the program. Hope you enjoyed Bo Pelini's press conference, which you'll hear every week. We get to UNK and Hastings College football with coaches Daryl Morris and Tony Harper tomorrow. Former Husker and Cozad Haymaker and now member of the Houston Texans, Jared Crick, scheduled to join us tomorrow as well. Later in the week, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week from Iowa and Giltner High School, Drew Ott. So, for Jimmy Langan, Doug Duda, Jeff Babel, our producer-engineer, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.